relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, alternative sex, where we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. Mostly we focus on kink, kinky sex, BDSM, bondage discipline, sadomasochism, or called submissive, fun stuff, as some people would call it, submissive, dominant, just call it different things, but you get the picture. Like what was explained in 50 Shades of Grey.
No, don't mention this.
Well,
please,
except
please,
that some
please.
People, you know, that's all they can relate to.
The kinky stuff.
And to help us decipher all of this and to answer questions about this are Pierre and Catherine, a couple that started BDSMCircle.com, a website that is chock full of information about this lifestyle. And tonight we will actually focus a little bit on people who do this as a lifestyle and do or just enjoy it in occasional sexual practices. I think it's very different. I've met people who will enjoy certain parts of either being submissive or being dominant in the bedroom because it kind of increases the level of excitement in the bedroom.
Intimacy.
And then there are other people who and those people who don't practice it during the day. It's just you know, in the bedroom. And then of course you have those that they make a lifestyle choice about it. So that's something that I think we can address tonight. 514-800 if you'd like to text in if you have a question, or if you'd like to call in 514-790-0800. So I was talking to this lady and she was giving me this story, and I said, "Ah, I got to remember this story for Pierre and Catherine." So this woman is going online, and she's dating. And she sees the guy's profile. He's a good-looking guy and what have you. And in his profile...
They always are on the profile.
Right, of course. And in the profile, it says something about, "I'm looking for a submissive," whatever. Now, this particular person doesn't know much about being a submissive or just exploring her sexuality. So, oh, this looks interesting. Like, let me just get in touch with him.
Sure.
So they email back and forth, and immediately he starts to get, she described it as somewhat like abusive at some point, saying, "You will now listen to me and you will be, I will teach you how to be a good submissive." And, you know, saw a picture of her and says, "You will cut your nails and you will, and I, and you will go to work tomorrow and you will wear a skirt and you will." And she's like, "What? What? Who's, what? I don't get what's going on here. Like, you can't tell me what to do."
We have a technical term for somebody like this.
What?
An asshole.
A jerk. Okay.
Well,
so this is
what?
Not...
That's,
yeah.
That's the difference between domineering and a dominant.
Okay.
Now,
explain.
Some people are going to get into that, and it's fun for them to be, oh, you know what a common one is? Don't wear any panties when you go to work tomorrow.
Right.
Things
right.
like this.
Right.
But you know what? You negotiate these things. You negotiate how far it's going to go. You negotiate your limits. And I know we're boring and we keep saying, talk about it, negotiate,
okay,
negotiate. But that's it. There was no negotiation.
Well, that's
so you
what
know
I'm
what?
Saying.
He has no right. He's just an idiot. And she has, what she should do is go click and turn that damn computer off.
Right. Because, in fact, they hadn't established any kind of entente, any kind of contract. And Oh, yeah. That's the thing. He sends her like a 40-page contract.
Yeah.
They
very
haven't
popular.
Even. Let me just tell you something. They haven't met. Okay. The whole thing, they haven't met, yet he emails her this contract and she's reading it. And this is somebody who's not in the world of BDSM,
right,
thinking, what on earth is this? Like, what?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The elaboration of it, like things that she had never heard of, like activities she had never heard of. Who does that? Like, to me, that just
bad
sounds...
Bad doms.
Okay.
Bad doms. Ones that, you know, you negotiate, you talk, you bring people into it slowly. You don't start off with, you know, everything.
Or be
right?
abusive. Like, to
or,
me, it's
or
not...
Or be abusive. Well, okay, there's the control thing, which is... Isn't necessarily abuse if it's consensual.
If you're at,
if
you say so.
If she's got a safe word, if she can say, "Oh, okay, wait, now
you're going
you
too
said
far.
You said about what I wear to work. That's a limit.
Mm-hmm.
My work is a limit.
Mm-hmm. You can't
okay?
go there.
You can't go there. You can't go.
Right.
And you know what? It's pretty common. You don't do anything with their family, especially their children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and And I don't mean even sexually, but you just
leave
that
alone. No, you mean you don't tell them what to do.
You don't tell them what to do. And you don't usually do anything to with their work. Now, you could do things like if you have someone, you could be saying, well, you know what? You've got rotten sleeping habits. And you need to start going to bed by 10 o'clock so you can get up and give a proper day's work the next day. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But
well, I think the confusion was, I have to tell you, was for her, the confusion was, where's the... Like, I thought I was engaging in some form of, like, okay, we're going to talk about sexuality, whatever, you know, like, we're going to start. But where's the sex in that? Like, it wasn't sexy. There was nothing sexy about it except take off your underwear. But otherwise, it was cut your nails. Like, where's the sexy thing in there?
For some people, being told what to do, the whole authority thing can be very sexual and very exciting. And I'm cutting my nails for him.
I can tell you it turned her off.
Well, for
well,
sure.
Completely.
And you know what?
No kidding.
With no negotiation, he didn't bother to find out what she liked. He didn't bother to find out what her limits were. He didn't find out what excited her or what's what. So it has to be actually also about the submissive.
And, so who is this person? Who could this person be?
He could be the fella sitting there in the control room. He could be anybody.
It's not Dave. That's for sure. No, I can't say that. I don't know. No,
suddenly there's a problem with my volume. No. But sorry. But it could be anybody. This is it. There's a lot of different kinds of people that do BDSM. And there's some people that are downright scary that do BDSM. Mm-hmm.
Just like there are scary people all over the world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's people who want control over somebody because they don't have any control over their own life.
Mm-hmm. That sounds messed up.
Yeah, it is messed up. And they will typically go after a specific type of submissive. They will go after the submissive who's very cowering and very, okay.
Mm-hmm. Who submit to the world.
Sounds like a vulnerable, someone who's very vulnerable.
They'll go after people vulnerable.
And usually they destroy their life.
Most dominants, your majority, actually really enjoy a strong-minded person. Mm-hmm. Who I know personally, it's not exciting for someone who is a doormat to also be a doormat for me. Whoopee. Mm-hmm. They're not giving me anything. They're not giving the world. You give me a strong person who's in control, who runs their own life and that, who decides to submit to me, they're giving me something. Mm-hmm. They're giving me their will. They're saying, I want to do what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting for me. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing. But it's negotiated.
The type of dumb that you're describing, or this gentleman, is one of those people who give us a bad name. And already BDSM is not understood by a lot of people. And when you have somebody like this doing these things, just make it worse.
Yeah. You know? As one texter says, the confusion is if the playtime is the moment or 24/7. If it's a 24/7 playtime, it's a problem, if not crisis. So what happens, I think it's either you live it, like, again, you can't be two people. You can't have one person who just does it for fun in the bedroom, playtime, you know, an hour out of whatever, or some and expect them to also want to live it. Maybe they don't want to live it. But
Dr. Lorraine, I have a problem with what you're saying because you're not BDSM and you understand that part. And people within the BDSM community don't understand that part.
But there's also a way to integrate it healthy into your life. There's lots of couples we know that do that, that live it outside of the bedroom, but still with a healthy balance. And
this
balance
is what I
is
want.
Really
and,
important.
And this is what we'll talk about. How is it? And we'll focus on that tonight. Living, you know, either just playtime or living it 24/7 as a lifestyle. This is what we will focus on tonight. If you have thoughts on that, do give us a call here at 514-790-0800 or text us at 514-800. Alternative Sexuality, tonight on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative Sex tonight on the program. We are talking about BDSM, lifestyle or playtime. Two of those things. They can coexist or not. I know plenty of people who have talked to me about their BDSM explorations in the bedroom, period. Yeah. Only there. Only there. And not always, just as something that's fun.
For some, it's a game, and it's all right if you treat it as such. And for other people, it's part of their life, a lifestyle.
And I guess that's the part that's probably harder to understand is the lifestyle part. And that, by the way, if we go back to, I know you hate it, but go back to 50 Shades of Grey, there were two things about that the series of book or the movie. One was what was going on in the bedroom.
Yes.
And one was what was going on outside the bedroom.
Yes.
And a lot of people had issue with him being dominant outside the bedroom, telling her, you know, there are parts where he's telling her.
Tell her to eat because she was too
that's
thin.
Right, things like that. So all of those things. But what you're saying is that's actually the good part.
For
that
some
can be
people,
really fun. That can be a lot of self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
We do that with our submissives and slaves. I will work on making them better people. You know, healthier and quit smoking, stop speeding, mm-hmm. doing better things.
And that's living it as a lifestyle, though.
It is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What drives somebody to make it their lifestyle?
With the society we have nowadays, a lot of people at some point want to free themselves of having to take decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes really far. And this is why some people say that when they become submissive, they free themselves. They surrender. I often use that word. They surrender mm-hmm. to the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, this is where it becomes a lifestyle, because when they're not at work, and often at work they're strong people. They're,
right.
They
make all the decisions.
They make all these mm-hmm. decisions, stuff like this. When they're with their lover and the lover decide for them, this is how they relax. This is how...
They want to know if they follow the rules, everything's going to be okay.
Yep. Because they make the rule otherwise.
A lot of people have gotten away from the church. A lot of people have gotten away from authority figures or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And having an authority figure is comforting. It's exciting at the same time. And
I get the comforting. It's the comforting plus the connection with sexuality that sometimes I think is hard to
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Make.
But you know what? It's for a lot of women, it's a lot more exciting to be like grabbed and brought close and, mm-hmm. and hugged and dipped
well, it's
and kissed.
The whole seduction thing.
The whole thing,
yep.
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sexier than, you know, that
soft, willowy guy that just like, oh, here, give me a kiss there. It's
okay,
like,
but some people like
some
the
people
song.
Some like that, and that's okay.
But this is where we're saying that it's not for everybody.
Right.
You need to have what we call... Well, the need.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat myself here, but if you don't have it, you don't do it, period. There's
right.
other stuff for you.
Although I've known people who have discovered it later in life, so and they
do.
Realize
okay.
that most do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our generation, and I hate to say it like this, usually discover BDSM late in their life, or they accept it late in their life.
Mm-hmm.
The younger generation, the young adult, they don't have this problem. They're 18 and they want to be BDSM like to the extreme right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a problem with.
But it's often
about
a fad that'll be gone in about
well
a year and a half.
Oh yeah, is
yeah.
That
but
how long
meanwhile,
it lasts?
They can
usually about a year and a half.
But sometimes, meanwhile, they can do a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're having issues. But what you know, when I was a young adult, and the old guy would say to me, "Don't do this," we'd be like, "Yeah, screw you."
Mm-hmm.
You know. But now, what do you say to these young adults when you know they're going to get in problem? And, you know, they won't listen to you because you were young at some point in your life.
I guess the thing is to teach people how to do everything safely. You know, it's like safe
yeah.
sex, right? You can teach them. It doesn't mean they're all going to use condoms. I know.
Yeah,
it's right. Here's a couple of questions for you. So somebody says, I would like to explore the world of sex clubs and group sex. I am a 41-year-old single man and wonder if there are any places that are reputable for this activity. I've had many partners and I'm comfortable with sex. I also have a pleasure for watching people have sex. I've never tried it and would like to be informed beforehand. Any pointers you can give?
Actually, we cannot really help
that's
that
more
person.
Swingers.
It's a swinger.
BDSM.
Yes, that's more of this. Although there's an overlap between some BDSM and swinger community.
To a certain extent,
to
but
a certain
not
extent,
very
but
much.
They,
because there's a lot of difference in the rules of etiquette.
Yes, they don't
okay.
exist well.
Okay.
Go ahead.
She's going to get mad at you, Pierre.
That's all right.
You're used to it. Go ahead, Catherine.
I'm just saying there's a lot of difference in the rules of etiquette between a BDSM club and a swingers club.
Mm-hmm.
And I might get some swingers mad at me, but we've been to swingers clubs where I've had people grab me, people touch my body, touch the submissive's bodies. They're tied up and someone will come over and start groping them. That's not okay.
Okay.
And in a BDSM club, everybody would be going, hey, what's going on there?
Right.
That's because I find it's an assumed consent in a swingers club more than a BDSM. So if you want a swingers club, we're not your people. I have no idea. We don't go into that.
Well, some of the only thing, you know, I've talked to the people in the swingers community, what have you. They don't look too fondly to just single men.
It's a problem for some people,
right.
I know.
So you may not be able to get into any club as a single man. You have to be vetted somehow. I'm not even
bring a woman.
You bring a female friend.
When we go to, well, we don't do it often, but when we were invited to some of these clubs, we noticed that often they would accept couples.
Right. It's a lot of couples.
It's about
a
lot couples.
Because they want the woman.
Right.
They'll let any woman in.
Right, they'll let women in, but
of course they
right.
will.
So the only steer you to look up this website called VenusCouples.com. VenusCouples.com. They are swingers, although they are a couple and they really focus on couples. But you may be on their website. I believe you'll be able to find where there may be clubs or reputable clubs there. Coming up, we'll answer questions about where are some fetish clubs possibly or BDSM clubs as well. So people seem to want to partay. We'll tell you where that, if we have the answers, we'll see. We'll see where we could, talk about where these clubs exist, if they do in Montreal, which I'm sure they do. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight on the program. So here's a text at 514-800. Are there any good fetish clubs, BDSM clubs in Montreal?
There is and there isn't. This is one of those answers.
Okay.
When you look for a club for BDSM, you want a club where there's what we call a dungeon master, a good one.
Okay.
You want a club where there's rules, where the rules are being applied and, you know, there's safety. The problem is most clubs, they have a space where people can play. Nobody's checking it. A lot of discotheque in Montreal, they have their BDSM night.
Oh, really?
Anybody can go there. Anybody can do about anything. We've been to some of these clubs and left because we could not stand what was happening.
Really?
And right now, a real dungeon, a real BDSM club in Montreal cannot survive because...
Well, they're usually private.
So they're usually private.
So how do you find these private
By connection.
Parties? Go to Munches, you meet people, yep. You get into the crowd.
Okay, so it's about getting into... It's about networking, just like you would anything
but,
else.
But those clubs are usually legal because you cannot make this type of club legal. One of our dreams is to win a big lottery so we could hire lawyers to... transform this, you know, but... Yeah,
well, as long as there's no sex going on, I suppose it would
actually,
be illegal. Or unless it's a private club. Well, why? Club L'Orage, the swingers club, is legal.
Yes, but
yeah,
the
well,
sex was happening in the basement.
Isn't there a lawyer that owns it and has
I don't know.
Yeah, at the time it was, yeah.
You know.
Okay, but they have the private club, which is separate from the,
exactly.
You know...
Right.
No action could happen and the...
In the regular... Right. Okay, part. Well, you could... You know, have one dungeon for one thing and one dungeon for another thing,
but,
I guess.
But then you're getting into some other problem.
You could, but it's also because of the nature of it. Right now in Canada, it is illegal to hurt somebody even if they consent.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So this is very... okay, can we hold that thought?
She's right.
I want to hold that thought because now we're getting into the legalities of BDSM. I want to talk about that. That's very intriguing to me. So on the other side of the news, that's where we're going. We're going to talk about the legalities. And I had no clue that there were illegal things in BDSM.
Oh, yeah.
So we will continue our discussion with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com here on Passion on CJD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
BDSM tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality. Once a month, we focus on this and answer your questions with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. This one's somebody's trying to make a funny. What if you're allergic to leather? Do they have any cops dressed up with clown pants? Okay, whatever. Okay, can we go back to the legalities thing?
Well, we can, sadly.
Okay.
In Canada, it is, and I'm sure this is because of the domestic abuse law. So I understand the reasoning for it is because you cannot consent to be hurt.
Right.
Well, if you're talking about domestic abuse, that law's there so that you can't have a woman that's or a man that's been intimidated and said, no, I wanted it. I wanted this black eye.
Okay.
So I get why the law's there. However, if you are giving somebody a spanking and they're having a grand old time of it and they've got a safe word and it's all fun and games, that's still actually illegal, even if it's not going to be charged. Yes. Because in Canada, you cannot consent to be harmed.
But what if it's not harm? What if it's arousing?
This is where the fine line is. Mm-hmm. And
for some people, it's going to be like a foreplay. And for other people, it's going to be terrible. He's being hurt and it's terrible.
But who's
going
to see that? What happens in our bedrooms? Is that why clubs don't exist? That's what you're saying.
That's one of the reasons.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just think, you're in the club and somebody calling 911 for whatever reason and the police comes in, see these things happening. What do you think is going to happen after that?
Right.
For us, we're out. You know, us, we're out there. And if somebody, the police would say, well, you're doing this and this, would be like, yeah, we are. And if you want to know more, listen to CJAD.
Yeah.
You know? But a lot of people want to keep these parts of themselves secret.
Well, I didn't realize. I would imagine you'd want to keep it secret if it's illegal. Like if there's a legality, so you could get in trouble.
In the case of... I mean, you're not going to get in trouble if it's just a spanking and there's no... A lot of it depends on how extreme it is.
Well, where would you get in trouble?
If the woman turns around and says, he beat me.
Well, what? But if it's a consensual relationship...
Well, she can say it wasn't.
But anybody can do that.
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing as a woman can call rape when it's not.
Uh-huh.
You can call, he beat me when it wasn't. And it's the same thing. You have to be very darn careful who you play with and that it's consent. And this is part of the reason about negotiation. I hate to bring up...
John Gomeshi,
thank you very much.
Oh, he's in the courts right now.
Believe that he thinks it was consensual in his brain. I really think he does think that.
And why would he think that?
Because for some reason, he has obviously done this to other women who didn't say a damn word. Like that one that went out with him the next day and had a nice date with him and everything like that. So she's giving the idea to him that was just hunky-dory. Because I'll tell you, if someone choked me, I sure as hell wouldn't have been going out with him the next day.
Right. So it's an implicit kind of consent.
Yeah, and it's lack of negotiation. A dom needs to negotiate to protect themselves, to protect the person that you're playing with. This is why we go over and over with negotiation. If you can prove there was negotiation, if you can prove it was in those lines, however, you can also withdraw consent at any time.
That's right.
And that's where a safe word comes in.
So don't you think someone like Gomeshi had no clue what the rules of consent meant?
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. And I'm not defending him in any way.
Here's a trick. If you're negotiating with someone and you're using email, store them somewhere safe. If something happened, you can get them out saying she or he accepted this. You know, here's the proof.
Right. You have written proof.
Written proof.
Submissives and slaves have to write me and ask to be my slave or my submissive before I accept them.
They have to sign
I have to
a
have
document.
An email.
It's a letter.
Yeah,
I have to have an email. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. And this to protect myself.
Of course. And that makes sense.
We talk about a checklist. We talk about what's okay and what's not okay. But... there's a risk.
There's always a risk.
Yeah, and there's also a risk that something can go wrong during a play.
Because there's the accident, the action that is really an accident, you know. I mean, somebody gets hurt because something just went wrong because it was bad luck.
Right. You slipped.
You slip or something like this. So you have to be ready for this. What if somebody has a broken arm and when you get to the hospital, there's rope mark?
Right.
You know, it's...
Is there BDSM insurance?
No insurance would cover anything that is remotely like this.
So no
another problem
no
for clubs.
Interesting.
Another problem for clubs.
So, you know what? I also want to talk about, you just mentioned the word pro-dom. And so for a lot of our listeners, they don't know what pro-dom is, which is a professional dominatrix, right? So I'd like to talk about that, because now there's the difference between, we talked about just playtime, right? Then we talked about lifestyle as a BDSM. Now I want to talk about the person who's paid for it, which is a completely other situation, is it not?
Absolutely.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Okay, first of all, a pro dom is going to have a session that usually lasts 60 to 90 minutes and typically costs about $200 to $400.
So it's paid.
An hour. This is going to vary by the individual, location, services, wand, and other factors, whether they have a dungeon, equipment, fetish clothing, things like that. A good dom is going to have negotiated with you two or three times on the phone before the first session takes place. Okay. Pro doms get lots of crank calls and time wasters and guys hoping for free phone sex.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You need to be prepared if you're calling them to answer a few questions. They're going to want to know how you found them, what draws you to BDSM, what are you looking for in a session, if you've had sessions before. Why do you want a professional session? The cost of it.
So they give you there's a screening interview before they ever make a point of meeting with you.
Absolutely.
A good professional would take care of these things, yeah.
If they don't run.
If they don't run, what?
If they don't do that, run away.
Okay.
Because they're dangerous.
The pro-doms.
Yes.
Okay. What makes a pro-dom dangerous?
Well, may I on this one? Because I have a beef about this.
Sure.
I have a beef with women who want to be prostitutes and think, oh, I'll just beat a man instead of sleeping with them and I'll get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to it than that. If they don't have equipment, if they don't have the proper clothes, if they don't have a dungeon, they don't know. That's what you're paying for.
It's the safety, right?
It's safety.
More than anything.
Out there, there's a lot of, how you call them, the proper word, the services that, you know, that provide all kinds of services.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a blonde girl if you want, or a mistress. And usually it's the same person. And a good professional dom, this is what she does. She's going to create a service. She's going to create all the marketing. She's going to do the research for it. So
she invests a lot.
A lot. For us, a pro dom is an entrepreneur. It's somebody that often we like to talk to.
So you don't see them as prostitutes?
The real one, no.
Okay. No, not the real ones.
Okay.
But there are prostitutes who pretend to be doms.
Yeah.
Okay.
My
latest beef is about the doms who lurk on the kinky dating sites.
Oh.
And pretend to be lifestyle doms.
Okay.
But really, they're just cons. They're not a pro, they're a con artist. And what they're doing is they're trying to con money from men. They'll be quite successful at it, and they'll want either, it's called a tribute, they'll say, pay me a tribute, or they want them to take them shopping to buy,
clothes,
to buy kinky
like
clothes and things like that. And
you know, we have an ad section site, and it's one of our worst problems. Because usually I screen them, and when I see something that doesn't make sense, I ask them, are you a pro service? And they say no. And often I put them their ad up.
Okay.
And often within a week, somebody is writing me saying, well, she's a pro.
Right. And that's not what you're doing.
That's not what we're doing. And this is a problem. Catherine is absolutely
right. And a proper pro is going to say, I'm a pro dom and I charge this.
Right. You're going to pay for my services.
It's like, you know what? It's like a guy thinking he's got a girlfriend and a guy going to a prostitute. If he goes to a prostitute, at least there's some respect. They're saying this is what it is. It's a business transaction and fine.
Right. And don't pretend you're my girlfriend.
Don't pretend you're my girlfriend and trying to steal my house and my paycheck.
Right. More with Pierre and Catherine, we're going to talk about pro subs. Are there any? That's the next question up here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sexuality tonight on the program. Once a month, we focus on kinky sex, BDSM also specifically, with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. So here's a great question. We were talking about pro doms, which are professional dominatrix, people who or professional dominance, people who pay, usually women, to provide the service of dominating or, you know, using mm-hmm. that, right? So the question is, are there pro subs as well?
Yes.
Okay, they're so rarer. Professional submissives. Tell me how that works.
They're rare. They usually have somebody with them. There's going to be a long list of what you can and cannot do.
Okay.
And they're going to have somebody there with them to basically make sure that you stop and do what you're supposed to do. It's not the same as having a sub that isn't for sale is going to be different than a pro sub.
Okay.
It's kind of the same with a pro dom. A lifestyle dom and a pro dom will not have the same type of relationship.
You know what? Pro doms, like pro subs, provide a service. There are lots of times I will get one-liners. I want to be your sub. They don't want to put any time in. They don't want a relationship. You know what? Go pay for it.
So you're going to get what you need. Can get that.
You yeah. Can... If you, you know what? If you don't want
to. So pay for the dominant, you yeah. mean, at that point.
Exactly. Okay. And you can do the same thing. If you don't want to actually have the time, the effort to have a relationship, you can go get a pro sub, but it's
what
not
would the pro sub
the
do?
Basically, they're gonna let you tie them up and spank them or give you.
So you're talking about the masochistic side,
usually, but they may kneel in front of you and do things like this,
serve you,
yep.
And there are people who will do that for money.
Yes, absolutely. But there's going to be usually somebody standing in the room for safety.
Okay. Yep. So is sex involved there too?
They'll say not, but usually. Same as like many of the pro doms will.
Or the massage parlors. Yes, we'll give you a nice massage. And if you want, we'll give you this too for money.
And unfortunately, a lot of the pro doms also do that. Many don't. But unfortunately, with the internet and the fact that there's BDSM is much more accessible to people. Pro doms, it's not the same market that it used to be. And
what's the different market?
Well,
what do you mean?
Because it used to be, if you wanted it, you had to go to a pro dom. There weren't a lot of lifestyle doms. It was very hard to
meet somebody.
You couldn't
find other people who were in
that. That's it. It was much harder to find somebody.
Since the internet, it's much easier to find
exactly. And so, which is really good, except that it's kind of like ruined the market a little bit for pro doms.
Right.
Most of their customers are going to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but it's the truth. And okay.
And this is because their wives don't want to do that, or they don't want to tell their wives that this is something they want.
Yep, that's it.
That's another discussion, because you know when you're a big guy and stuff like this, you don't want to admit you want to be dressed like a woman, or be sissified, as we said.
Sissified.
Well, it can be a real turn off, yes, for a couple that it's your partner, and suddenly they want to be submissive. A lot of women don't like that. It's like a cold shower.
Yes,
and the
I've heard that. Yeah,
exactly.
Uh huh.
And the best way to often deal with that is to go to a pro. I'll tell you, it's like
and they won't feel that you're cheating. Like, would you then tell your partner?
Hopefully,
no, I guess.
Hopefully,
that would be nice.
You know, there's open. I know lots of couples that's how they deal with it.
Mm.
And they're even considered switches where they're dominant over their wife. And I have several that I am personally dominant over the males.
Right, but
the wife knows.
Right, and the wife likes her partner to be dominant with her.
Exactly.
Right,
but
they're going to negotiate limits, and the gentleman will try not to go over them. You know?
Right, but I think what you said, Catherine, makes a lot of sense, which is sometimes it's a cold shower when you expect your partner.
To be strong
and to be the man and to be the seductive one.
I hate to bring up 50 Shades, but the last book where it's basically his thoughts and all his insecurities is probably going to kill this because it is the least sexy thing.
Right.
People,
he's
you know
so
what?
Weak, right?
Confidence
you see the weakness.
Is sexy.
Yeah.
Confidence is sexy.
Right.
It's not sexy if you think, oh God, is it okay if I grab her like that? Like, is she going to turn her? Oh my God, is that? That's not sexy.
Right. It's not confident. Right.
Exactly.
It's not confident. So that plays a big part. Well, that's why it can be a cold shower for some. I know some women whose partners will say, you know, humiliate me or beat me or dress me up. And they're like, no, I want a man. I don't want that. So it can certainly be that. 514-800, if you have a question. We still have a couple of minutes left with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. We still have things we can talk about regarding subs and professional doms. So if you have questions about that, do give us a call here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Only a couple minutes left here with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. So we were talking about the professional side of it. So I like the way we touched upon everything. We touched upon the playtime for some couples. It's just something they do in the bedroom just to play, something different, something to spice things up.
Yep.
Then you have the people who do this as a lifestyle, like the two of you. And then you have professionals, professional doms, professionals who get paid by other people, who get hired to do this. Now, is there a training certification process? Like, how would you know, you know, when somebody wants to go see a whatever, a professional or a therapist, an electrician, or whatever, you ask, you know, do you have your license? Like, what's your licensing, you know?
Go,
so
Catherine.
What is this?
Okay, this is a little beef of mine, because you'll hear
you have
about,
a lot of beefs tonight. Just
I
saying.
Do,
okay,
I do.
Okay.
And they'll say, you know, I've been trained by so-and-so in the house of blah, blah, blah. And it's all a bunch of crackle. And, you know, it's like someone can say, well, I've had sex for 30 years, but, you know, they've only ever done the missionary.
Right.
It means nothing. It you know,
so
what?
There is no house of blah,
there
blah.
There is no. There's no training.
No
there's
BDSM
nothing.
University.
Nope.
There's no BDSM University.
We wish.
Talk to them. Find out if they're safe, sane, and consensual. Find out what they're doing. You have to talk and negotiate. That's how you find out.
How do you know what's good training, what's bad training, what's training? Where do they learn it?
Well, you only need to be trained by the one person you were with, because every single person is going to be different. There are doms out there that have these little scams that says, I do a 6-week training or I do a 4-week training.
To train the submissives.
I'll train you as a submissive for other doms. No other dom wants somebody who's been trained by somebody else.
What
it's
about,
like saying, I'll have sex with you so you know how to have sex with somebody else.
But what I don't understand is, what about who teaches the dominance?
Often it will be another dominant, another pro-dom. And it doesn't mean it's good. If you have a good pro-dom that's been doing this and doing good services, often they're going to create new good pro-doms.
They have schools. I know there's some. There was. Oh, wait a second. We had somebody on who has the school of
yeah,
doms.
Yeah, I don't really think that's worth much. Sorry.
Okay, we won't go there. On that note, let's end it right here. Guys, thank you very much. If you're interested in knowing when Pierre and Catherine have their meetups, then they call them their munches, where they meet up in a restaurant, then just check out BDSMCircle.com, send them an email, and they'll let you in on the locations and the dates, right? Exactly. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Always love having you. Thank you very much. Thanks
nice.
To Dave Simon and Master
Got
Control.
Me on a riled up, Dave.
And thanks to all of our listeners tonight for all of your wonderful questions. Coming up next, news followed by Joey Elias in the Comedy Show. Have a great rest of the night, and please remember, life is short, so do take the time to smell the flowers and indulge your passions.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.